Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Coming to you live from the Atlanta United training facility in Marietta. We'll be here the next 3 hours. Some live interviews, players, coaches, all that good stuff. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good. Andy Bunker, as you say, up here in Marietta. Getting ready for the playoff game down in Orlando as Atlanta United stays off elimination.
Staying alive.
Throws it all out there. I'm about to call. Throws it all out there, lays it all on the line. They did everything we said except for bring Brad Guzan out the net. But other than that, we told them everything that they did.
Well, Brad Guzan.
Well, he was in the net.
He got thrown in the net.
But, it's going to be an exciting time for this team as they continue to fight on in a season where I thought would have been over a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit up here and try and front like that. But, it should be a fun day to get up here. And, like I said, the weather, at least we're under something.
Yeah, we're undercover. We're outside. We're on that same balcony that we were at a couple of weeks ago when they were getting ready to when they were playing for their lives, right?
Yeah,
I mean, they had to win two in a row to advance, and they did.
Yep.
Against Messi in Miami, and like you said, they got Orlando on Sunday, and we'll talk to Rob Valentino, who I assume is going to be hopefully they get that nameplate ready.
Yeah.
It's about time to make the call. I realize that's a postseason decision, but I feel like the man's done a pretty good job with the job interview. Jay Fortune is going to join us at 11:40 as well. Young midfielder's been playing a lot over the last couple of months. Has been playing very well over the last couple of months, and a homegrown player with really cool story. So we'll talk to him at 11:40 as well. But, we're in the same spot we were at a couple weeks ago. A little bit of a different vibe. It was very hot that day.
Yes,
they were actually practicing.
Yes,
they're
were.
Not practicing today, and why would they? Because it's pretty crappy outside. But they got a few more days to get ready for the match on Sunday anyway. But excited to be here. Happy to be here. And looking forward to the next 3 hours for sure.
Well, I mean, at least we can talk about something being happy about, because Arthur Blank's other team makes me want to throw. Makes me want to throw stuff against the wall.
Yeah, 24 hours removed from yesterday's conversation. Don't feel better about it. I mean, obviously what happened, and now you go into the bye and try to assess and all that. I mean, Raheem Morris made pretty clear that they're not going to be doing any job changing. No one's getting fired. No one's getting demoted. All that. He's not taking over play calling on defense, any of that kind of stuff. And I think that's good. He could have done that if he wanted to. I don't know if that sends a message to the locker room. I don't know if that has any impact. But we talked about it yesterday. We talked about it all year. It's a personnel thing.
Yeah. More than anything, it is.
It's a personnel thing. More than anything. So, if you want to – and I would like to hope most coaches aren't like this, but I for sure feel like Raheem Morris is not like this. Like, scapegoating a defensive coordinator because of what's going on with this personnel doesn't seem like the right move. Now, again, I don't know what they do. I don't know how they get it better. They're going to have to figure out a way to do that. But firing someone and hoping that lights a fire under somebody's ass, I don't think would have done anything.
No, they got to figure out something. You got a week, basically 2 weeks, to come up with a strategy and a game plan. Obviously you want to self-scout. Obviously you want to get ready for the next game, but it's 2 weeks away. But more than anything, you want to do some self-scouting of yourself, try to assess where you can find other ways to make this defense better, find other ways to see how you can get this offense rolling faster, and you have time to do that. Sometimes it's a quick fix. I don't think this defense is a quick fix, but can you find a way, because you're getting guys back maybe, and guys who are – guys who are a core special teams player. Because I heard one that, remember what we talked about that my first year with the Chargers. We had number one offense, number one defense, but there were special teams and all those different things. And I remember Coach Ron Rivera said this. I heard him say this. He said, the reason we were so bad on special teams because all our special team guys had to play because we were banged up on offensive defense.
Right.
So now the Falcons have guys, that are special teams guys that are having to play more defense and everything like that. And like a guy like Lamb, I think I love him. I love his story and everything. But this dude, in the way the game is played now, he's the third linebacker.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that you want playing all those plays because of his limitations in space. And so hopefully you get Troy Anderson back, and that helps the defense a little bit more. You get your number three cornerback. Instead of your four going to three, your three comes back, your four goes back to four. There are certain things like that. If you talk about as far as the rotation and things like that, to maybe try and find something to get better personnel out there, your best personnel, I should say, to help you try to figure something out defensively. Offensively, They just got to get a better rhythm. We talked about it, you know, Kyle Pitts getting more involved early on. It's not more or less the catches, it's the plays that he makes as far as the big plays that he makes that gets his offense going. Kirk Cousins got to play better. Threw a touchdown in two games. Yeah. It's not good enough, especially when your offense has to do so much because of where your defense is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's why you analyze the last couple of weeks. Like, certainly the defense got torched on Sunday. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
They got absolutely torched by Bo Nix and Sean Payton and that Broncos offense. But I'm not surprised by that. Like, I'm not surprised that a group that already is limited when injured struggled against a matchup like that.
Yeah.
I didn't think it'd be as bad as it was, and
right.
I think it probably wouldn't have been as bad as it was if the offense would have upheld their end of the bargain
right.
a little bit and kept them off the field. I know the Broncos have a good defense. There should never be a game where the Falcons score 6 points.
Yes.
Not with all this firepower on the offense, not with Kirk Cousins, not with everything, all the resources they have allocated to that side of the football.
Right.
They let the team down on Sunday. The defense did too. But, again, I'm not surprised by the defense struggling because I think the defense is limited. The offense is supposed to be the backbone of this team, or at
yes.
least the identity of the team.
Yes.
As we've watched the season evolve, they have been at times. Like that, you know. You play like that, you're going to lose to anybody. Whether the defense had played decently or not. They didn't, obviously. But even if the defense had a good game on Sunday, you scored 6 points.
Yep.
You're not going to beat anybody.
No. And I think that, you know, you can look at the penalties and everything like that. That offense just never got going. I mean, they had some plays. Yes, the penalties are a big deal and negate some of those big plays. But how that game just played out, they just didn't have it at all.
Yeah.
It seemed like they were unprepared, which I hate to use that word a lot of times, but how you unprepared, you're a damn professional. And a lot of times the team jumps on you, you just have no answer for it.
Yeah.
And that's what it looked like to me. It was just one of those things, like, the South is begging them to win this game, this division.
Yeah.
It's begging. It really is. And for them if they don't win, I'm not saying they won't. I still think they'll win it, but they got to find some wins. You can go by on the schedule, compare them and Tampa's schedule. Tampa's schedule is easier. Atlanta's going to have to find some wins, and not saying they can't. They can beat the Chargers.
Sure they can.
Yeah, they can beat the Chargers.
Sure
you know, they can beat pretty much anybody left on their schedule if they use the formula that's gotten them wins a majority of times. And I know their record outside of the South and everything like that was 1-4 and everything like that. That is telling because of the fact of how weak of the division that
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
But they can still go out there if they do what they're supposed to do, and they can go out there and win the games and put themselves in a predicament where they just win the South. And,
yeah.
and then you can figure it out from there.
The record outside of the division is also the record against teams with is similar to the record against teams with a winning record.
Right.
Right? They've won one game this season against a team with a winning record, and
right.
that's Philadelphia. Saquon catches that ball, they don't win that game. He
right.
didn't, so whatever.
Exactly.
Not apologizing for it. They
exactly.
had to go down the field and win it and all that. Chargers have a winning record.
Yes.
The Chargers are actually a pretty good football
yes,
team.
Yes, they are.
They have a really good defense, and they're solid on offense. They know what they want to do. Again, we got a lot of time to get to that football game, and we'll analyze it along the way. But it's a damn good thing they're in the NFC South.
Yeah, man.
Because if they weren't, like, again, I mean, that was, you know, when we're doing the preseason expectation list and all that kind of stuff, win the South and Raheem's whole thing has been outrun the South
right.
and all that. Good. And if that's what the goal is, fine. Maybe that's what the reasonable expectation should be, too. Because when you start looking at them stacking up against non-NFC South teams, they don't. They don't stack up against them.
I mean, they're 2-0 against the NFC. No, NFC East, mm-hmm. which is not saying a lot.
No.
I mean, even though they got the two top teams are Dallas. They got that win. They got I'm sorry, Philly. You got that win. Then you got to play
yeah.
Washington. You've already beat Dallas. And we are my son Isaiah. He's a Giants fan. Just texted me about this damn Danny Cutlets with dude or whatever, Vinny Cutlets or whatever his name is. You got them coming into town later on in the season.
Yeah.
So they don't want to win no games. Obviously, $250,000 isn't a lot for Drew Lock, but Drew Lock might win. The game. Yeah, they might. Drew Lock might Lovie Smith the Giants out of no one pick or something like
yeah.
that. But yes, I mean, so you got these games. Obviously, we'll be out in Vegas for the Raider game. But I mean, you can find a way to win at least four of these games. You're fine.
You need to win four.
You need to win at least four of these
games.
There's
no excuse to lose to the Raiders, the Giants, or the Panthers.
None.
I understand you lost to the Saints.
Yes.
New coach energy,
yes.
whatever. That was awful.
Yes.
There's no excuse to lose to the Raiders, the
no.
Giants, or the Panthers.
No.
So that's three,
yes.
right? That's three of the six that you have left.
Yeah.
Then you just have to find a way to beat the Chargers, the Vikings, or the Commanders, or all of them. Yeah. I mean, you're allowed to win more than four of these games.
That's true.
But, you know, it's going to be hard to go on the road against Minnesota. They're a good football team. It's going to be hard to go on the road against Washington. They're a good football team.
Are they? Or they've got a really good quarterback?
I think they have a really good quarterback, and there's some other pieces. Like, they got, you know.
Scaraterry's good.
Scaraterry's good.
Yeah,
yeah, but I like – Brian Robinson's a good running back.
He is.
I like the running back.
But are they
You know,
they've kind of stalled out these last couple games,
definitely,
and everything
definitely.
Like that.
Not surprising.
Not surprising.
Philadelphia did to them what Philadelphia was gonna do to
right.
them when it was that Thursday night
yeah.
when they played. It took them a little longer than
right.
I thought that it was going to.
Right.
Like, give them credit for hanging in that game and all that, but they're all right.
Okay.
I mean, they're not great.
Yeah.
But we're not. You know.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not talking about. Them playing a great
I understand
team.
That.
We're talking about
I understand that.
Another team that's just all right.
in the
Atlanta Falcons.
These things are understandable in how you would feel about going about, you know, matching them up against other teams, especially in the NFC. But, yeah, I mean, they got to work on themselves. This week right here is all about the Falcons. It's Falcons versus Falcons. I don't know how much they're going to practice or whatever like that. But, no, this is a self-scouting week where you go back, you watch every single play leading up at the – I mean, going up to the end of the Broncos game, offense, defense, special teams. You try to figure something out because this is all about self-scouting and trying to get yourself. Obviously, you want to get guys back, but you got to figure out something down the stretch to give yourself a chance to win these football games because they're all winnable games. I don't want to sit up there and say all these are
no.
world-beating teams,
yeah.
but they can't continue to beat, you know, shoot themselves in the foot by not being a little bit off on this pass rush because they were on. These last couple weeks, it's just been a little bit off.
Yeah, the problem is with analyzing some of these matchups into the future is kind of a similar thing we were talking about with Georgia going into the Tennessee game was as you've watched them progress this year, does it feel like they're getting better?
Right.
It doesn't feel like the Falcons are
no.
at this point.
No.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, you probably would have said that they were. I think they were probably playing their best, I don't know, through the third quarter against Dallas, and then they kind of stalled out in the fourth quarter. We also see what Dallas is now, too. Like,
yes.
we knew they weren't good. They're really not
they're
good.
They're really bad.
Like, they're really, really bad. You saw that on full display last night. Their roof's falling.
Yeah, man.
Like, they got...
They're bad.
Their franchise is literally
they're,
crumbling.
They're bad, man. I mean, it's... Ooh, man.
You really hate it for them.
No, you don't.
You really just feel don't. For them.
No, you
it's
don't.
Terrible. It's
yeah,
so
yeah I love it.
It's just awful.
I love it. Damn the Cowboys.
Damn the Cowboys indeed.
Yeah, man.
Damn the Cowboys indeed. All right. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. If you stayed up late last night, you got a chance to see the Hawks get a win.
A nice win
over the Sacramento Kings. Dyson Daniels, just an incredible defensive player. Wins the game on defense.
What year was that, those Sacramento uniforms?
Those ones from last night?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I was like, who the hell is that? I thought they were – I was like,
those
are
like those are maybe like the Kenny Smith era Kings?
No.
Like 80s? Remember when Kenny Smith was in the dunk contest
yes,
as
do.
A king? I think he had light blue jerseys
and
on.
He lobbed the ball and went up and dunked it, and everybody was like, oh!
He like bounced it between his legs.
He bounced between his legs, goes out the back where he goes up and grabs it.
One thing that's come a long way is dunk contest dunks.
Have they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, we're, like, not impressed by guys doing, like, 540s now.
No.
Guys are doing, like, backflips. Like, back then, you'd had a guy, like, pretend to close his eyes and dunk it, and everyone was like, ah!
Oh, D. Brown.
He's blind.
D. Brown.
Nah,
yes.
He could see through that.
Cedric
Sabalas was
yes.
peeking.
Yes.
He was peeking.
Yes.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get through what's trending here to kick the show off. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Five seconds left, Fox. Fox fires it. It's blocked by Dyson Daniels. Saves it now to Trae Young, who got pushed off the floor. The game is over. The game is over, and the Hawks win. Dyson Daniels, the defensive player of the year in the NBA, just blocked the great De'Aaron Fox.
What a block.
I don't know if he's going to win that award or not, but he's certainly entered the conversation, which is pretty fantastic. That's the final call there right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as the Hawks hold off the Kings last night in Sacramento 109-108. And, yeah, man.
What a play.
Dyson Daniels playing defense has suddenly become – the most exciting thing to watch on a nightly basis with the Hawks. I mean, obviously, Trae on the offensive end had 19 assists last night, which is the most assists anyone in the NBA has had so far this season, and he can certainly do that. But, Yeah. No, I mean, I saw some Vegas odds. Like, Dyson Daniels, like, fourth in odds to win Defensive Player of the Year.
He's been outstanding, man.
It's incredible.
And we talk about him all the time as far as that was his mentality coming in. He even said it. He wanted to be on an All-NBA defensive team. And I think one of the biggest things, they're getting their guys back. I mean, DeAndre Hunter was really good last night. Bogey's finally back out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're missing Jalen didn't play last night. But, I mean, I would like to see this Hawks team. I'm not saying they'll be win the Eastern Conference anything, but I would be intrigued to see them and how, you know, Coach Quinn, how he implements the rotation with all his guys back. But, yeah, good win for them. Sacramento, I mean, they're so-so, whatever. But, I mean, to go out there and win, I mean, I would think that was a great win for the Hawks last night.
Yeah, I think Sacramento's solid.
It's solid.
But you're right. You get your guys back and you can actually get back to normal rotations.
Right.
I mean, there was a game. The game they beat the Celtics in, they're on their third string point guard starting the game.
Yes.
Because Trey and Bufkin were both out. You had Bufkin back last night too, only played 12 minutes, but at least he's kind of back in the mix. Really, really love DeAndre Hunter coming off the bench.
I think that we've all established we like that.
Yeah.
I think we've all established.
Oh, I think you and I have.
Yeah, I think we've established it. Let the young boy, Rishi Shea, just start.
Yeah.
Let him stay in there.
Let him start. Let him be a part of the mix. Obviously, when Jalen Johnson is healthy, he was a late scratch last night. He's going to be in the starting lineup. So, that you know, Garrison Matthews wouldn't be out there. But
He contributed.
Yeah. No, Garrison Matthews is fine. Like, he's a really good shooter. He's a good guy to have in the mix. DeAndre Hunter coming off the bench last year was the best year of his career.
It was.
He's been hurt a lot to start this year, but back in the mix last night, 25 minutes, 24 points. Like, he just, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like a little bit less required defensively playing against second units.
That could be it, or the pressure's off.
Whatever
or,
it is. You know. I don't know what it is, but it works. So keep him in there.
Yeah. I mean, when you go down, say you go down the stretch and you're looking for the unit that's going to close out the game, you're going to obviously Trey, you're going to have Dyson Daniels. Probably would go, not Capella, no.
Depends.
Depends on the matchup.
Depends on who their
depends
center
on the matchup,
is. But yeah.
Yeah. With Jalen.
Either him or Kongwu.
Yeah, but I mean, this team, and I'd just be interested to see how it goes down the stretch when this team is fully healthy as we go throughout the season. We know it's a long 82, but it was good to see Bogey back out there.
Yeah.
And obviously, DeAndre Hunt, like you said, he's been banged up, coming off the bench, 24 points. They needed all of them because they won by one.
That's about as healthy as they've been.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look, you look across the league, everybody's hurt, you know. Like, obviously, last night for the Kings, they didn't have Sabonis. Just look at any game, pretty much, and somebody has somebody important missing from their team right now. Look, if the Hawks can just get a little bit of a run of health, they're right. Look, they're 7-8.
Yeah, man.
Like, better than I thought they'd be 15
games. No, nobody's running away with the East right now.
No.
I guess it's still early.
The Hawks are in fifth.
Yeah, it's still early.
They're
and everything.
The fifth seed right now.
Yeah, because you look, Philly stinks. The Bucks stink.
Most of the
Bucks stink.
I mean,
so just keep pace with them until they start getting good. I don't think Philly's going to get good overnight because their best player can't play.
Can't play,
can't condition, can't do anything.
I don't think Philly's going to get good ever.
He was raggedy again last week. But, I mean, you know, they're missing their spark plug in Maxey. The young boy's playing well. I know he tick-tock his ass off, but the boy can hoop.
Yeah. No, he's a good player.
The boy can hoop.
Yeah, and people have a, whatever. He's a good player.
Whatever.
Outside of the Cavs, who are 15-0 still.
Don't they play Boston tonight?
I believe so, either tonight or tomorrow night. But they're 15-0, which is crazy.
Yes.
Only the fourth team to ever start with a 15-0 record or better in NBA history. And the Celtics, who are 11-3, nobody in the East is anything special. The Magic are good, but Banchero's hurt. He's going to be out probably
for a while.
New Year. Yeah, he tore his oblique or
something
like that.
Yeah, he's going
to
be out for a while.
So he's out for a little bit. The Knicks are the
whatever.
Knicks. The Heat, I don't know. Like, speaking of injuries, the Heat are all right. The East is kind of a wasteland after the top two teams. Hopefully the Hawks could keep pace and, you know, maybe find themselves not in the play-in round when the season is all said and done. But a lot of basketball left to be played before we get to that conversation. All right, let's hear from Kirby Smart ahead of the College Football Playoff Committee rankings. The playoff rankings coming out tonight, third edition. Here's Kirby after the game on Saturday talking about the committee.
I don't know what they're looking for.
Oh,
I really don't.
This is yesterday.
I wish they could really define the criteria. I wish they could do the eyeball test where they come down here and look at the people we're playing against and look at them. And, you know, you can't see that stuff on a TV. And so I don't know what they look for, but that's for somebody else to decide. I'm worried about our team.
Interesting.
It's interesting, but I tell you, the one person who everybody, you know, talk about, Ms. Heather Dennis, right? She's in there with those people. And listen to her try to explain their thought process is confusing as hell, too. Because is strength of schedule? Is it opponent? Like, I mean, it's just so damn confusing. I always go back to what Nick said. It should be the best 12 teams. Matter about your conference championship or nothing like that, because you'll get a team from the Mountain West or somebody from the big, who say for instance a three-loss Big 12 team, but they get a bye because they won the conference. Like, I don't like that. I'm sorry, it is what it is. But I go back to the original thing. I got confused one time when it was the first 12 teams, but then I saw BYU at 4. I was like, hold on. Oh yeah, it is like that. And so I mean, they're gonna change it. They'll change it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you want your best 12 in there.
Here's,
not necessarily, yeah.
They want their best 12 in the playoffs.
Yes.
I think on a given Tuesday, they want their most controversial 12.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I think Georgia fell 9 spots last week because that helped. Yeah, that helped the conversation. I don't know what helps the conversation most tonight, but whatever it is will be what it is.
What do you think? I think it's going to be the biggest thing is where Georgia lands. I think that's the story of what's going to happen tonight is what is Georgia as far as coming off that win against Tennessee and how far does Tennessee fall?
Yeah, I think
other than that,
to me, they probably should just switch.
Other than that was chalk, and then, oh, obviously where BYU goes.
Yeah.
Obviously about that.
That's going to be
if Georgia fell 9, yes,
for losing on the road to Ole Miss.
Yes.
BYU should fall 20.
You know what I mean? So
for losing to Kansas. And also being not.
I think, Abe's just like, no, I think they're behind Alabama. I don't know. I think they're behind Alabama. Are they behind Ole Miss?
Yeah, I know. That's the funny thing. They might not be. The way that they might stack it tonight, like, again, we just forget what happened. Yeah. Like, Ole Miss beat them by 18 points 2 weeks ago.
We'll forget about it.
They beat the hell out of them 2 weeks ago.
They'll forget about it.
Yeah, because, like, last week they couldn't put them ahead of them, right?
Right.
They had them right behind Ole Miss and right behind Alabama. So I guess Ole Miss didn't play this week, so they got to get jumped. Yeah, I'm not really sure. Again, what the committee is hoping happens is what the committee was hoping happened every year when it was a 4-team playoff, that the football will figure it out for them. And normally it does. Normally, the last year it didn't. They were hoping like hell that Florida State lost in the ACC championship last year, and they didn't. So then they had to make the hard choice of leaving them out, which ultimately was probably the right choice, albeit Florida State has every right to be furious about that, although they haven't responded very well to that in the time since then. But yeah, they're just hoping it all works out.
Yeah.
They're hoping all the football takes care of any controversy for them.
So it won't be on us.
But here's the thing. That's not going to be possible. Given the way that the SEC is shaking out right now, there's going to be a good team that makes the championship that has 2 losses, that loses that game, that gets left out for another team that had 2 losses that didn't make it.
I mean, that's what Lane Kiffin's talking about.
Lane Kiffin's right.
And he's right. And I love how he said talk to other coaches. I know some of the coaches. Everybody, I mean, Lane is who he is, but, like, he has a lot of all these coaches coached pretty much together at one point in time, a lot of these SEC coaches. So, yeah, I know he talked to about it and everything like that as far as that situation. Now, I'm not the elk of not wanting to go win an SEC title. Obviously, you want to win a national.
Right.
Yes, no doubt about that. I'm not sitting up there saying, I mean, Georgia won a national title without being the SEC champion. So, yeah, I'd rather have the national title.
That's the part of the conversation that I don't like, though.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people are like, well, you really just don't go to the game. It's like, no. Go to the game and win it.
Yeah.
Go win the SEC championship.
Yeah. Because you're in.
Yeah. Then you have a bye.
Yeah. You're in.
And you're one of the top 4 teams. And you have a bye. Like, thinking about it from the standpoint of, well, if we lose the game, it's like, well, yeah, but just don't. Now, Georgia fans will say, well, last year, you know, that's a good point. Georgia was certainly one of the 4 best teams in the country last year. They were penalized for making the SEC championship game and losing 1 game. First game they lost in a million of them.
Yep.
And they were on the outside looking in, and they didn't get a chance to play for the national championship, which they probably would have won if they would have gotten the college football playoff. I would say the same thing now as I said then. Well, we shouldn't have lost that game then. You know what I mean?
It happens. It happens.
Don't lose it, the game. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it happened, and there was always that possibility. Yes, we know that Georgia won the best 4 teams in the country, but they didn't do what they had to do. They put their fate in the hands of those people. Are they in Grapevine, Texas?
Sure.
Yeah, those people.
Something like that?
Yeah, some of those people.
Georgia is certainly one of the 12 best teams in the country this year without question. But, again, if you make the SEC championship game, and you lose that game, you know what's on the line.
Yep.
Like, you know? I don't know. It's 12 teams gets in. Like, I don't think anybody had any sympathy. At least I didn't have any sympathy for them last year. I know you didn't either. Certainly not going to have any sympathy for teams that don't make a 12-team playoff.
No, it's because it's there. And you would think that the best 12 teams. Now, it's unfortunate that Independent gets in, you know, that 12th hole and everything like that.
Here's the thing.
Eliminates a good team that's at 13. Say, for instance, Tennessee's at 13.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Tennessee's, they're 12 in the ranking, but, that sucks.
It does.
And everything like that.
That'll change.
That's what I'm saying. That part right there has to change.
It'll change.
And then also – but
the other thing that'll change is they'll probably do away with or find a way – they'll do something different with the conference championship games. Yeah. I don't know that they'll do away with them just because of how much money there is to be made.
I agree with that. Oh no, I agree with that.
But they may find a way to alter it a little bit because again, you can't be penalized for making the championship game. That's not fair. Now again, I would say just win it, and then you don't have to be penalized for making the championship game. But the way that they're already talking about it makes it seem pretty likely that something's going to change there, too.
Yeah, I mean,
there's going to be no group of five guaranteed.
Right.
Which
is unfortunate for them, but hell.
Yeah.
Be one of the top 12 teams.
Yeah, which Boise State might be.
Yeah.
Boise State might play their way into the top 12 independently without needing that automatic. Or maybe it'll be Tulane or something like that. I really don't know. The thing about this year that's fun, though, is I do feel like that team, Boise State specifically, they can compete. Like, I don't know that they would beat any of these teams, but maybe they would. They damn near beat Oregon. And Oregon's
had
the
number
one team
had them on the ropes. In Austin. Is it Austin?
Autzen.
In Autzen.
Yeah.
Autzen.
I don't know who that's named after.
I was curious who that was named. I'm sorry. When is it going to become Phil? When is it going to become Phil Knight?
Some dork, probably.
When is it going to become Phil Knight?
Some Oregon chump.
Who invented a star?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. He's probably some great man. My bad if I'm hating on you. Washington's got to go into Autzen in a couple weekends.
Let's go, baby.
Not worried. We'll be fine. Walk into the trap and take over the trap. Jay Fortune is going to join us next. Atlanta United midfielder.
Since that clip came out.
No, they haven't been taking over many traps.
They haven't been taking over no traps.
Have they? Oh, it's unfortunate. It's fun.
Yeah, taking over no damn traps.
Only thing that matters in sports is winning. Like, you can be the dorkiest dude in the world and win, and everything's great. You can be the coolest guy in the world and lose, and everything sucks. It's just as simple as that. Anyway, Jay Fortune's going to join us next. We're live from the Atlanta United training ground. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. 20 minutes away from getting back into the NFL. NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Week 11 wrapped up last night. And one thing for sure, the Cowboys suck.
They stink.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
They're
a pretty terrible football team.
They stink. Yeah. You know, I was thinking because we were talking about, you know, as far as the Falcons and scheme change and maybe a coaching change and everything. And I had a thing like last time that worked. And I thought about Detroit. Remember, because my man, I love Anthony Lynn. He was the OC when Dan first got the job. You remember how bad it was and he fired Anthony and then promoted Ben Johnson within. And so that just crossed my mind when I thought about that. Now, Ben Johnson's going to have his choice.
Yeah.
He's going to have
Yeah, and he's turned him down.
And he's turned him down. Now, going back to last night, because I want to – did Slowich, is he still one of them dudes? Now, they're struggling there. The offensive line stinks.
Yeah.
They had some injuries at the receiver position.
He should be.
You would think?
He should be.
Okay.
But, just sort of reading some of the I never know the way those narratives sort of blow in the wind and change all the time. I guess they've been bad in the second half of games offensively. And so they scored a touchdown in the second half last night, although it was a defensive touchdown, and people were making jokes about, see, get off Slowick's back,
right.
They can score. And I was like, well, that was the defense.
Right.
Like, I didn't realize that was something people were saying. From a, you know, from an outsider's perspective, I still view him as a really smart offensive mind.
Right.
And you give him a little leeway with how bad the offensive line has been and all that.
Their interior of that offensive line is just butt.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's terrible. And they're going to get CJ.
What up, brother? How you doing, man?
Stroud hurt. How are you? Jay Fortune steps up to hang out with us here as we are broadcasting live from the Atlanta United training ground. First, let me let you know, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Like we mentioned, Jay Fortune was going to come by and hang out with us. He is here right now. Jay, how are you?
I'm doing good, Buzz. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Good to see you.
Outstanding.
We're very much looking forward to the game on Sunday, of course, but I want to talk a little bit about what you guys just got done doing with Miami. How much fun is this? Like, how much fun has this run been thus far?
It's been great. Obviously, winning games is one of the best feelings out there, and when you put in a lot of work to prepare for a team like Miami and in an environment where people didn't expect you to win and you're able to come out and get two wins, it really does boost the confidence, boost the team spirit and morale, and stuff like that is a great feeling.
The messy stopper, that's what I'm going to call him.
That's what we've been calling him.
The messy stopper.
I hope that's okay.
And everything like that. I understand he's a legend and all that. You probably had his posters up on your wall. That's all right. We're going to call you the messy stopper. But tell me us about your increased role this season, you know, as far as the more and more you've gotten out there, the more comfortable you got. How has that been for you so far?
It's been great. I'm somebody who feels like can bring some value to the team. And it took time. It wasn't something that happened right away, right. And I knew that was going to happen. And the biggest thing for me was just waiting for my opportunity. And it started to come a little bit more recently. And when it did, I just wanted to take it in stride and, you know, do the best that I could. And from there, I knew as the season went on and I played in more games, I'd get a little bit more confident and other sides of my game would show. And started to do that, and I still know that there's still another level that I can reach to that I'm just trying to hit.
Atlanta United midfielder Jay Fortune hanging out with us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. I heard you in an interview earlier this week, last week, whatever it was, I don't know, growing up watching Barcelona. I mean, that was your team. Still is, I suppose, but Atlanta United's your team. But watching that team and those guys and all that and getting to go out there on the field against many of those guys, including Messi, like, you know, that's a pinch-yourself moment, but also you have to stay in it and try to win the game. Like, what was that like?
Yeah, I think build up to the game was obviously those pinch yourself moments, realizing what's happening. Even when you find out he was coming to the league, you know, that was a great feeling. You know, the first two times we played him, I don't think I played. I just kind of watched him the side and just seeing, you know, how he is on the field a little bit like that was great. Obviously, it wasn't great because we lost those first two times, but outside of that, going into this week playing against him. As the game starts or build up 15, 20 minutes before the game, you know, he's no longer your favorite player. He's somebody you're going up against.
Love it.
And I think as a team, we did really well. We're not going to sit here and say this is how you stop Messi. The best you could do is just try and limit, you know, what he's able to do. And I think we did that to a certain extent. And, you know, for me, it was looking back at it now, it was a great moment. You know, you have one or two pictures of you defending him or you in the same area as him, and that's something that will carry on for a while. But as the game's going on and you're playing, you know, you're not really thinking about it so much.
What about this team? Because you keep talking about us and team and things like that. But this team has, you know, 6 weeks ago, backs against the wall, and you guys found a way to continuously go out there and win games, fight through all those different things. What is it about this team's character that has allowed you all to be where you are right now?
Yeah, I think we definitely had a rough patch throughout the season, but we had our rough patch at the right time, I guess.
Okay.
Obviously, you don't want to have it, but with how this season turned out, we started to pick up form towards the end. And for us, you know, our playoffs kind of started after that loss against Montreal at home, because from there on, it was must-win games for us. And I think when you're in that rhythm, you're in that momentum of playing games back-to-back-to-back in must-win situations, they're experiences that you learn from. You know, I haven't been in a lot of those, but for me, it started a little bit earlier than the playoffs were, and you know, I'm learning from what it takes, what it requires to win these type of games, and that's something that we needed to have from earlier in the season that we didn't. And when you have, you know, more experienced guys on the team, such as Dak, such as Brad, you know, Derek Williams, stuff like that, you know, they've experienced these opportunities as well. So for us, it's just about putting all that together, finding the pieces that we have as a group, combining it all to be successful.
I want to ask you about those guys, because when you're coming up, like, you know, you're working your way through the ranks and all that, you're playing with guys for the most part that are around the same age as you, right? You're U17, you're U19, yeah. Whatever. These guys are old.
Hey, like, yeah, yo, hold on. No.
For the league, they're old.
They're older than him.
Everyone's older than him.
Yeah, just say older than him.
21. Guzan's the oldest guy in the league, right? Like, he's old. It's all right. It's
you
no
said
big deal.
It, not me.
Now I'm going to ask you to talk about it, because that's got to be a little bit of an interesting thing, right? Like, you're around people your age and coming up, and then now these guys are veterans and they've been in the league for so long. Like, how do you go about, and I know it's a team, so it kind of is what it is, but like, how do you go about bonding with teammates like that when there is such a gap?
Obviously, when you're around these guys as often as you are, there's the balance of joking around and when it's time to get serious, you know. And
do they get your jokes?
Dax tries.
Do you get his jokes?
No, I tend to. I feel like I have a little bit of an older sense of humor.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes, you know.
All right, but old soul.
you know, Dax and Derek, you see them on TikTok during the day trying to keep up with the latest trends and whatnot. So they'll come out to training one day, hey, you see this? And I'll be like, yeah, I saw it like 2 weeks ago, but it's no problem. But, nah, it's great. It's honestly, this is the first time I've met Dax. And I think not too long into meeting him, I told people, like, you know, he's a great guy. He's joking. Now he's at the stage now where he just gives me a hard time for everything, which I guess is that older, younger guy kind of thing. But it's great. You know, he's a great guy. Same as Brad. They're the noise. They're the keeping the energy up. Everybody engaged in what's going on. But also, too, like you said, like being around those guys, it helps because, you know, they've done what they've done at such a high level for so long. Clearly, they're doing something right. So you want to pick up what it is that they're doing to add to your game, to add to your repertoire so that you're able to be better in my career. But it's they have the perfect balance of when it's time to be serious and when it's time to be funny. Not always as funny as they might think they are, but we'll give them their laughs every once in a while just to make them feel like, you know, they said something that was...
Man, that makes me feel old because I have a son your age. And so that makes me like, yeah, because I'm curious because I say the same thing. Did y'all see this? And they say the same thing to me. Yeah, Dad, that was that was kind of old. But we get the jokes and everything.
We won't tell them that, though. We'll just laugh at it.
Like, hey, and that's all you got to do. Just humor us.
Just
and everything.
Humor
yeah. Just humor us. Just humor us. And then after you humor us, we'll leave you alone. Yeah. You know, when you talk about, you know, the backs against the wall, all those different things, you played so many games in a row and everything to get to where you are. Now you got this break. How is that? Because obviously it helps Brad, because they're veterans. But, like, as you as a younger player, were you like, come on, let's go ahead and just get this thing out the way because we're rolling right now. We don't want to break this momentum.
Yeah, Moyamba and I were talking about last week, and we were saying we wish the game was this weekend, you know, because we have a rhythm going, we have a form going, and it's really important that we try and maintain the level that we've been at. And, you know, we came in today with the idea of let's start getting back into that rhythm of that we were in the prior weeks because we know the importance of keeping the level that we've been at. You know, we've been able to win games playing the way that we have, and it's important that we keep doing that. So it would have been nice to have the game be, you know, this week, but the schedule is the way it is, and, you know, everybody has the same amount of time off, so there's no excuse, really. It's just up to us now to put in the week's work to prepare for the game like we have been doing and be ready to go.
Atlanta United midfielder Jay Fortune joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy as we broadcast live from the United training ground. We've heard, did a little background research, heard you like to talk a little bit during games to opponents and stuff. Do you have to brush up on, like, different languages to make sure that you have all the right trash talk, given who you're going against?
Nah, not too much. It's interesting to hear who you heard that one from. I'm more so talking out here at the training ground than on games. But
and maybe I was lied to.
Maybe, who knows? But who knows? Maybe ask me the question again in 2-3 years, my answer might change. Maybe I'm someone who's talking to everybody. But my Spanish isn't too bad. You know, I try to have conversations with the likes of Mosquera, Abram, Hernandez. They help me out with my Spanish. You know, I'll try and talk to them in Spanish a little bit. So it's something I've been working on, and hopefully I'm at the point where I'm fluent enough where if I am talking crap to those guys,
it's
I make
good.
Sure I'm saying the right words and I'm not saying something about myself.
Right, you don't want to mix it up and you're accidentally talking bad about yourself.
Well, last one for me, obviously, you know, you're on to the next round, this Orlando team, it's the rivalry and everything. You know, it was probably before you got here, it was always a thing between Atlanta and Orlando. What is it about, you know, about this team? Obviously, Rob got you watching film and things. Some of the problems they may pose for you guys this weekend.
Yeah, we got to play them on decision day, last game of the season, so that was a great opportunity for us to kind of just see what each other have from a footballing standpoint. We know they're a team that likes to keep the ball. They like to have a lot of players in pockets and stuff like that, which can always form a problem, but at the end of the day, you know, I think it helps us out because we're a team that's been so good in transition the last few games where if we're able to pick up on mistakes that they make, you know, it allows for us to go quickly and create some chances. But, you know, we know that they have good quality players. You know, we know that as a team they know what they like to do, but at the end of the day, we were able to get the win against them the other day, doing what we do best. So, you know, it's understanding that we know that we can do it, not focusing on the last game because it's a completely different day, and if you get caught up on that, you'll get punched in the face. But for the most part, it's believing in what we can do, focusing on us, and hoping that on the day that we're just ready to go, because, you know, too much focus on them might mess us up a little bit. So,
well, good luck.
Good luck, my brother. Good luck, your brother.
Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate the time. That's Jay Fortune there, Atlanta United midfielder, stopping by, hanging out with us ahead of the next round matchup with Orlando on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the Atlanta United training ground. We'll grab a quick break. We'll come back and get into an NFL no huddle with Week 11 completely in the books, get you caught up on everything that happened over the week, start looking ahead to the coming weekend as well. Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.